In early pre-Edwards drafts of pandas, the term creation was defined as various forms of life that began abruptly through an intelligent agency with their distinctive features intact, fish with fins and scales, birds with feathers, beaks, and wings, etc., the very same way in which ID is defined in the subsequent published versions. This definition was described by many witnesses for both parties, notably including defense experts Minnick and Fuller, as special creation of kinds of animals, an inherently religious and creationist concept. Professor Bea's assertion that this passage was merely a description of appearances in the fossil record is illogical and defies the weight of the evidence that the passage is a conclusion about how life began based upon an interpretation of the fossil record, which is reinforced by the content of drafts of pandas. The weight of the evidence clearly demonstrates, as noted, that the systemic change from creation to intelligent design occurred sometime in 1987, after the Supreme Court's important Edwards decision. This compelling evidence strongly supports plaintiff's assertion that ID is creationism relabeled. Importantly, the objective observer, whether adult or child, would conclude from the fact that pandas posits a master intellect that the intelligent designer is God. Further evidence in support of the conclusion that a reasonable observer, adult or child, who is aware of the history and context of the community and forum is presumed to know that ID is a form of creationism concerns the fact that ID uses the same or exceedingly similar arguments as were posited in support of creationism. One significant difference is that the words God, creationism, and Genesis have been systematically purged from ID explanations and replaced by an unnamed designer. Dr. Forrest testified and sponsored exhibits showing six arguments common to creationists. Demonstrative charts introduced through Dr. Forrest show parallel arguments relating to the rejection of naturalism, evolution's threat to culture and society, abrupt appearance implying divine creation, the exploitation of the same alleged gaps in the fossil record, the alleged inability of science to explain complex biological information like DNA, as well as the theme that proponents of each version of creationism merely aim to teach a scientific alternative to evolution to show its strengths and weaknesses and to alert students to a supposed controversy in the scientific community. In addition, creationists made the same argument that the complexity of the bacterial flagellum supported creationism, as professors Beha and Minnick now make for ID. The IDM openly welcomes adherence to creationism into its big tent, urging them to postpone biblical disputes like the age of the earth. Moreover, and as previously stated, there is hardly better evidence of ID's relationship with creationism than an explicit statement by defense expert Fuller that ID is a form of creationism. Although contrary to Fuller, defense experts Professors Beha and Minnick testified that ID is not creationism, their testimony was primarily by way of bare assertion, and it failed to directly rebut the creationist history of pandas or other evidence presented by plaintiffs showing the commonality between creationism and ID. The sole argument defendants made to distinguish creationism from ID was their assertion that the term creationism applies only to arguments based on the Book of Genesis, a young earth, and a catastrophic Noah flood. However, substantial evidence established that this is only one form of creationism, including the chart that was distributed to the Board Curriculum Committee, as will be described below. Having thus provided the social and historical context in which the ID policy arose, of which a reasonable observer, either adult or child, would be aware, we will now focus on what the objective student alone would know. We will accordingly determine whether an objective student would view the disclaimer read to the ninth grade biology class as an official endorsement of religion. Section 2, whether an objective student would view the disclaimer as an official endorsement of religion. The Supreme Court instructed in Edwards that it has been particularly vigilant in monitoring compliance with the Establishment Clause in elementary and secondary schools. The Supreme Court went on to state that Families entrust public schools with the education of their children, but condition their trust on the understanding that the classroom will not purposely be used to advance religious views that may conflict with the private beliefs of the student and his or her family. Students in such institutions are impressionable, and their attendance is involuntary. In ascertaining whether an objective Dover High School ninth grade student would view the disclaimer as an official endorsement of religion, it is important to note that a reasonable objective student is not a specific actual student or even an amalgam of actual students, but is instead a hypothetical student, one to whom the reviewing court imputes detailed historical and background knowledge, but also one who interprets the challenged conduct in light of that knowledge with the level of intellectual sophistication that a child of the relevant age would bring to bear. Plaintiffs accurately submit that reviewing courts often make no distinction between an adult observer and a student observer when deciding whether a public school's conduct conveys an unconstitutional message of religious endorsement. However, when such a distinction is drawn, as is appropriate to do under the circumstances of this case, courts have recognized that because students are more impressionable than adults, they may be systematically less effective than adults at recognizing when religious conduct is official and therefore permissible, is unofficial and therefore permissible. Accordingly, the objective student standard is a means to ensure that courts exercise the particular vigilance that the Supreme Court has mandated for protecting impressionable children from religious messages that appear to carry official imprimatur. It is not a tool for excluding or ignoring material evidence. After a careful review of the record, and for the reasons that follow, we find that an objective student would view the disclaimer as a strong official endorsement of religion. Application of the objective student standard pursuant to the endorsement test reveals that an objective Dover High School ninth grade student will unquestionably perceive the text of the disclaimer, enlightened by its context and contemporary legislative history, as conferring a religious concept on her school's seal of approval. We arrive at this conclusion by initially considering the plain language of the disclaimer, paragraph by paragraph. The first paragraph reads as follows. The Pennsylvania academic standards require students to learn about Darwin's theory of evolution and eventually to take a standardized test of which evolution is a part. The evidence in this case reveals that defendants do not mandate a similar pronouncement about any other aspect of the biology curriculum or the curriculum for any other course, despite the fact that state standards directly address numerous other topics covered in the biology curriculum and the students' other classes, and despite the fact that standardized tests cover such other topics as well. Notably, the unrefuted testimony of plaintiff's science education by expert Dr. Alters, the only such expert to testify in the case sub judice, explains, and the testimony of Drs. Miller and Padian confirms, the message this paragraph communicates to ninth grade biology students is that we have to teach this stuff. The other stuff we're just going to teach you, but now this one we have to say the Pennsylvania academic standards require students to eventually take a test. We'd rather not do it, but Pennsylvania academic standards require students to do this. Stated another way, the first paragraph of the disclaimer directly addresses and disavows evolutionary theory by telling students that they have to learn about evolutionary theory because it's required by the Pennsylvania academic standards and it will be tested. However, no similar disclaimer prefacing instruction is conducted regarding any other portion of the biology curriculum nor any other course's curriculum. The second paragraph of the disclaimer reads as follows. Because Darwin's theory is a theory, it continues to be tested as new evidence is discovered. The theory is not a fact. Gaps in the theory exist for which there is no evidence. A theory is defined as a well-tested explanation that unifies a broad range of observations. This paragraph singles out evolution from the rest of the science curriculum and informs students that evolution, unlike anything else that they are learning, is just a theory, which plays on the colloquial or popular understanding of the term theory, and suggesting to the informed, reasonable observer that evolution is only a highly questionable opinion or a hunch. Immediately after students are told that Darwin's theory is a theory and that it continues to be tested, they are told that gaps exist within evolutionary theory without any indication that other scientific theories might suffer the same supposed weakness. As Dr. Alters explained, this paragraph is both misleading and creates misconceptions in students about evolutionary theory by misrepresenting the scientific status of evolution and by telling students that they should regard it as singularly unreliable or on shaky ground. Additionally, as pointed out by plaintiffs, it is indeed telling that even defense expert Professor Fuller agreed with this conclusion by stating that in his own expert opinion, the disclaimer is misleading. Dr. Padian bluntly and effectively stated that in confusing students about science generally and evolution in particular, the disclaimer makes students stupid. In summary, the second paragraph of the disclaimer undermines students' education in evolutionary theory and sets the groundwork for presenting students with the district's favored religious alternative. Paragraph 3 of the disclaimer proceeds to present this alternative and reads as follows. Intelligent design is an explanation of the origin of life that differs from Darwin's view. The reference book of Pandas and People is available for students who might be interested in gaining an understanding of what intelligent design actually involves. Students are therefore provided information that contrasts ID with Darwin's view and are directed to consult Pandas as though it were a scientific text that provided a scientific account of and empirical scientific evidence for ID. The theory or view of evolution, which has been discredited by the district in the students' eyes, is contrasted with an alternative explanation as opposed to a theory that can be offered without qualification or cautionary note. The alternative explanation thus receives markedly different treatment from evolutionary theory. In other words, the disclaimer relies upon the very same contrived dualism that the court in McLean recognized to be a creationist tactic that has no scientific factual basis or legitimate educational purpose. The overwhelming evidence at trial established that ID is a religious view, a mere relabeling of creationism and not a scientific theory. As the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals held in Freiler, an educator's reading of a disclaimer that not only disavows endorsement of educational materials, but also juxtaposes that disavowal with an urging to contemplate alternative religious concepts implies school board approval of religious principles. In the fourth and final paragraph of the disclaimer, students are informed of the following. With respect to any theory, students are encouraged to keep an open mind. The school leaves the discussion of the origins of life to individual students and their families. As a standards-driven district, class instruction focuses upon preparing students to achieve proficiency on standards-based assessments. Plaintiffs accurately submit that the disclaimer mimics the one that the Fifth Circuit struck down as unconstitutional in Freiler in two key aspects. First, while encouraging students to keep an open mind and explore alternatives to evolution, it offers no scientific alternative. Instead, the only alternative offered is an inherently religious one, namely ID. Whether a student accepts the board's invitation to explore Pandas, or reads a creationist text, or follows the board's other suggestion and discusses origins of life with family members, that objective student can reasonably infer that the district's favored view is a religious one and that the district is accordingly sponsoring a form of religion. Second, by directing students to their families to learn about the origins of life, the paragraph performs the exact same function as the Freiler disclaimer. It reminds school children that they can rightly maintain beliefs taught by their parents on the subject of the origin of life, thereby stifling the critical thinking that the class's study of evolutionary theory might otherwise prompt, to protect a religious view from what the board considers to be a threat. A thorough review of the disclaimer's plain language therefore conveys a strong message of the religious endorsement to an objective Dover ninth grade student.